Raise one hand, let's say together, dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive fresh revelation and application of your word. We believe and receive that there is no error or confusion or distraction either on our hearts or in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, he's glorified as we're edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 16. Praise God. Glory, glory. Verse 17 says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, I'm going there directly, has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I said to you that you know by revelation. You know you by revelation. You know others by revelation. Revelation means God by his Spirit. You know, we have to get used to revelation. Amen? See, I'm used to revelation. See, I'm used to revelation. Revelation means to uncover something, to show you something that is not seen by just the natural human eye. Then he says, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And now notice there are going to be two words that are synonymous in a moment. Upon this rock, and we said earlier in the day, that the rock he's referring to, there's a geographical place. And the place was called the gates of hell. That's what it was called. Gates of hell. It's also, you know, called the bottomless pit. The area there is called bottomless pit. So it's like the HQ of the works of darkness, physically speaking, you know, like a shrine. Then he says in verse 19, which is really our theme, finally we're there, and I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Notice that. I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And it says, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, you know, when we say keys, doors, and all that, they're all figurative. Now, when it says, I'll give you the key, it means access. Now, I said that earlier that Jesus is speaking in terms or in line, or let's say with the context of the Old Testament text. Now, just a bit of what we said last night and the morning and maybe earlier in the afternoon. We said that when he mentioned the end of the world, we said it's related to the beginning, which is the foundation. Now, quickly, let's all agree by what we've studied, because it will take us time to get, you know, into the details, that the foundation of the world is a house story. That is building a house. God is building a house. You can also call it a home. You know, and let me tell you how I normally explain it. I believe you probably heard me say it. That, for example, when you see Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And it says in verse 2 that the earth was without form and void. And it says there was darkness upon the face of the deep. It says the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Now, without doubt, that is not material creation. Verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. So there was light. The light was not the sun, moon, and the stars. So it's not material creation. But now, pay attention. When you get to chapter 2 of the same book, you find out he says that God finished heaven and the earth and the host of them. And then, when he finished it, he entered into his rest. If you read further on, David will say into his resting place, which is what the project is eventually. God will enter into his resting place. The writer of Hebrews says that seventh day, the rest place, is where we have now entered. Hallelujah. Which is the house of God. So pay attention. So I usually say it like this, is a house and a home story. Now, if you've ever moved houses before, you have folks that maybe you want to move from one place to another. And then maybe you get a company to help you do it. So they put everything in your house into a truck, a van, and they move it to your new house. Now, more often than not, they'll just drop everything, right? Right? They'll drop everything. When they drop everything, you have a house, right? You have the things you want to use, but you don't have a home yet. How does it become a home? You put everything where it ought to be. I'm sure that they'll just drop your TV somewhere. They drop. You'll find the things that should be in the kitchen, maybe in the living room. You'll find, you know, that's what is called tohu bohu. That is without form and void. Everything is upside down. But it's a house, but not yet a home. So which means that God made the earth his house, but it hadn't become his home. Do you understand? So what do you now do? You put the things where they ought to be. So, from Genesis 1, what we find is God putting things where they ought to be. He's making the earth, which is his house, his rest place. So, when he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of God. Now, when you say the kingdom of God simply means where God rules and reigns. Where he rules and reigns. You see, the kingdom of heaven. And then it says, whatever you bind on in heaven is bound, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. We'll see the implication in a moment. Then it says, in verse 18, says, I'll build my church. So, it's like he said, I'll build my church, then I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. So, the church and the kingdom of heaven are synonymous terms. The kingdom of heaven on earth, and the church, they are synonymous terms. The kingdom of heaven on earth and the church are synonymous terms. So the church is not a social organization. Can I have an amen? It's not a social organization. Of course we socialize. We relate. We interact. Okay? But the church is not a social organization. The church is primarily a supernatural assembly. A spiritual assembly. We'll see something shortly. So when it says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Now, remember we said that, you know, what God is building is a people. And we looked at it from Abraham. We didn't really go into Isaac, but I just mentioned Isaac. Then we also saw Jacob. We saw what the prophet said, what the psalmist said. Now go to Isaiah 22. Let's see what Jesus was referring to here. Isaiah 22. We have gone past, you know, seeing what he was building, the house, the people, the temple. Remember that? Very good. Isaiah 22 and verse 22. It says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. The key of the house of David. Now, what do you mean by the house of David? Now, in Matthew 1:1, when he was referring to Jesus, he said, this the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He said, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he connected David with Abraham, which means that God, what God was doing through Abraham, he did in David. So let's see in 2 Samuel 7, what God said to David. 2 Samuel 7. Quick one. I'm just going to read verse 11. As since the time when I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from thy enemies, also Lord tell thee that he will make thee an house. Now, I told you earlier in the morning, that house is also called what? Household. Remember? Household. Good. Now look at 12. When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I'll set up thy seed after you, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and will establish what? So, if he said house, household, then he called that household what again? Kingdom. Okay? Now look at 13. He shall build an house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So, is that house also the kingdom? Are you here? That house is also the kingdom. So, he said to David. Now, is that similar to what he said to Abraham? It's the same thing. A household. In fact, he told Abraham in Genesis 17 verse 6. He said, kings will come out of you. Kings. kings. So he has spoken to Abraham also about a kingdom. Kings will come out of you. So when he spoke to Israel and says a nation of kings, Exodus 19, 5 and 6, kings. Of course, I told you earlier that it's not the earthly king, right? Are you here? It's not the earthly king. The kind of king it is a different one. It's a servant king. And we saw that king in Melchizedek, Genesis 14, who was a priestly king. Genesis 14. That should be, is it verse 18 now? Genesis 14. Melchizedek, the priestly king. Now, he said the same thing to David, which means there was no plan B. There was no second option. It's the same thing that I'm going to build a household. That household will be a kingdom, and it will be forever. Verse 13 again, he shall build a household for my name, and I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever. A household, a kingdom, a seed, family. So if you go to Isaiah 22, Isaiah 22. So the household is the kingdom, right? Oh, good. Isaiah 22, verse 22. And the key of the household of David. Are you there? Is that also the kingdom? Huh? The key of the household of David, which is the kingdom, will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut it, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Look at the next one. I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. He shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. So you see, kingdom is there as well. Are you there? So go to Matthew 16. One of Jesus' names is called the Son of David. Hallelujah. The Son of David. That is one of his names. The Son of David. Which is the Christ. Is that seed of David. So in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. When it says, thou art Peter. Verse 18. And upon this rock I will build my church. Is that the household of God? Huh? Is that the house of God? Is that the temple of God? Good. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 19. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, what it means in other words is that Peter, let's zero in on Peter. Peter becomes a co-laborer with Jesus. Because we saw that Isaiah said is the seed of David, that son of David. So Peter becomes a co-laborer. A co-laborer. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Why is he giving it to him? Because he has it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth, he's loosed in heaven. So the question is, what is the key? What will the key be? Of course, key simply means access. It means access. Okay? So you say, what would the key be? What did he give him? What did he give to Peter? Now, remember he said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No doubt Jesus was talking about his death. Because by verse 22, he said he was going to die and be raised from the dead the third day. So whatever he said here, the reality of it will be seen when he rose from the dead. Is that clear? When he rose from the dead. So what did he give him? Or what did he give us? What is that key? Okay? Don't forget, that key will cause us to build. It will cause us to open. Okay? Open and close, bind and loose. Okay? So, what is the key? What did he give him? What did he give him in the resurrection? John 14. John 14. And verse 1. We're there the other day, or earlier in the morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Hallelujah. Is that the house of David? Abraham and Jacob. In my father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I'll have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Where I am, there you may be also. Let's look at the reality of this. When did it become a reality? Look at 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? In you. I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. Yet a little while the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Let's take 20 together. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So, Jesus gave them the gift of the Spirit. You can say the indwelling of the Spirit. He gave the Spirit. He gave the Spirit. And he said, I'll come again to you. And where I am, there you'll be also. So what he gave them in his resurrection, when he rose from the dead, was the gift of the Spirit. He gave them the Spirit. If you say, summarize what Jesus gave when he rose from the dead, you won't see any other thing, but he gave the Spirit. There's nothing else. You won't say, well, you can't even say he gave righteousness. You can't say, well, he gave us what he gave. A singular word for all that he gave when he rose from the dead is the Spirit. The singular word. If you put everything in one word, he gave his Spirit. Hallelujah. And notice, say that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Forever. He may abide with you forever. 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 So why did he give the Spirit? What is the essence? Now go to John 20. John 20. And verse 21. Remember he said, whatever you bind on earth, remember, is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Which is, you can call it authority, you can call it access. But John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, when he says he breathed on them, it's not that he put his nostrils on their hair and go, nope. The word there in the Greek is emphusao, E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. It means he enlivened them from inside. He enlivened them from inside. He caused something. In literal terms, he caused a bubble inside them. He caused something to come alive. Now, usually, I mean, I'll have said this, let me just say it. You know, Jesus' Bible was what's called the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Now, what he did here, that word, emphusao, E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. Now, if you go to the Old Testament, the Greek Old Testament, the first time you see that word is Genesis 2:7. When it says, and the Lord God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That's where that word, emphusao, is breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. You see it again in Ezekiel 37, verse 9, when it says, come, O you wind, breathe on. That word, again, is emphasized. Now, the essence here is that John is saying that Jesus is God. That just as he did to Adam, he has done to them. He has enlivened them. Now, but that's our emphasis right now. Look at verse 22. It says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. 23 now says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins that you retain, he says they are retained. Remember we read, whatever things you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever things you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. So he gave them such authority. Such authority to do what? To literally be the access how men will come into his house. How men will come into his house. So he shared with Peter and all, and you and I, the access that people will have into his house. So God, just like in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image, right? He shares his functions. He shares his, I don't want to use the word purpose, but he shares what he wants to do in earth with man. And Jesus repeats it. Here. Whatever you bind on earth, which means I'm the one builds, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I'm going to build it with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to build it with you. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. And it says here, whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Whosoever sins you remit, they are retained. Of course, that doesn't mean you go and say, I retain your sins. I retain your sins. What he's basically saying is that you will be the determinant of how people are saved or condemned. You will be determinant. You'll be determinant. In Matthew 6, Mark 16, the same thing. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. Whosoever believes not. Now pay attention. Who are they believing? You say they were believing Jesus, right? But they are also believing you. Because you are the one preaching. So if they don't, if they believe you, because you are in his image and in his likeness, if they believe you because he has given you the keys, if they believe you, they are saved, right? What if they believe not? They are damned. And that means their sins are retained. Let me see how they're following that. If they believe you, their sins are remitted. If they don't believe you, their sins are retained. Which means that he gave us the authority to tell men your sins are forgiven. Is that not what you tell people? I know probably you don't say it that way. You just say, well, some of us, sometimes we can be very humble. Just after you had preached to people and the man had received salvation, you don't want to say, now you are saved. You now say, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, King of Kings. Not you, Lord of Lords. I want you to welcome this man into your kingdom. Lord, grant him mercy. Why are you saying that? You don't believe that you just did that. The moment you spoke his word, and the man said, I believe, his sins are forgiven. If he says, I don't believe, his sins are retained. At your word. Hallelujah. At your word. Whosoever sins you remit, he says they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, he says they are retained by the preaching of the gospel. Because he said, as my Father, hallelujah, verse 21, John 20, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So Jesus shares his authority with us. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. See, I stand in the stead of Christ. I stand on behalf of Jesus. So which means that when you are preaching the gospel, you can say to someone, say, you are now born again. You are now born again. You are now a son of God. You don't say, well, let's pray about it. Mm-mm. You are now a son of God. Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. You are now a member of the household of God. You know why? Because he gave you that authority. He gave you that authority to say it. He gave you that authority. Hallelujah. So, when we preach and men believe it, their sins are remitted. If they reject it, their sins are retained. You know, Jesus said that whosoever receives the one I sent has received me. Whosoever rejects the one I sent has rejected me. Are you here? And that's what he meant. So when he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Every time we preach to men and they believe, their names are in heaven written. Every time we preach to men and they say no, same way, their names are not written in heaven. Very simple. It's a very simple explanation. So, when he says whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven there, he's referring to bringing men and women into the kingdom of God. Bringing them into the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul says you are now ambassadors in the stead of Christ. Hallelujah. You are now ambassadors in the stead of Christ. You are now ambassadors in the stead of Jesus on his behalf. So what are the keys? Again, we've seen something. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. 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 Receive, or let's put it another way. Take of the Holy Ghost. Take from the Holy Ghost. John 20:22. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Look at Luke. Luke. Luke 24. Peter was amongst this. In verse 47. He said, and repentance, I'll start from 46. Thus is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And the gates of hell did not prevail. Hallelujah. Very well. Look at the next statement. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, when it says should be preached in his name, should be preached in his stead. To be preached in his stead amongst all nations, begin at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. But look at 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. So he spoke to them about power from on high. To be endued with power from on high. He said, don't go yet. He said, well, you'll go and preach, but don't go yet. Till you are endued with power from on high. So which means that it wasn't sufficient to just have the message. He had taught them. It wasn't just, okay, just go and be preaching. Go and be preaching. And then at that point, you'll be relying on your eloquence. Your ability to explain. You know, to say, you guys, you know. No, he said, wait. Because this is not a natural task. It's a supernatural task. He said you will wait. And I think that's something, you know, a lot of people need to learn to do, to wait. If Jesus can tell people to wait, they learn to wait. Amen. He said wait. I mean, and look at it. He could have just said go tomorrow. He said wait till you be endued with power from on high. In Acts 1:8. So which means that, you know, in as much as he explained scriptures to them, I mean, they had had days of Bible study. He had done exegesis. He had done proper explanation of scripture. He had done hermeneutics. Yet he said, you need to be endued with power. Because it's not just by good speaking. Hallelujah. It's not just by good speaking. What you are building and the task you are giving is a supernatural one. It's not by good speaking. It's not just by speaking well. There is an equipment that is needed. So in Acts 1 and 8, same thing. Now, I'd rather start from 2. On the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given them commandments, I give commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So was this Bible study? Huh? Bible study, teaching seminar, he explained scripture, right center left. Luke 24:27 says, he began at Moses and all the scriptures. Luke 24:44, it says the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. He explained to them for 40 days. Good teaching. But notice, in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Is that the same thing we read? So, he called them to assemble. I wish I had time to talk about this. Which is again, an emphasis on the local assembly. You know that he told them to stay together. He could have said, you know guys, just go home. Don't worry on that day. Mm-mm. He asked them to stay in one place. The assembly of believers is not an option. I'm saying the physical assembly of believers is not an option. You know, some will twist that John 4 and say, well, we don't need to go to any church again because as long as we worship God in spirit and in truth, absolute rubbish. He asked them to assemble in one place. In fact, he told them where to stay. He didn't say, you guys choose. He said, stay in Jerusalem. So, he picked a venue. Right? Just like we are here. Someone said, well, I don't have to be here now. As long as I'm in Christ, anywhere I am, just stay there. Don't worry. You'll see Christ. It's not just Christ. You know, he gave them the venue. Stay here. So, you know, someone can just care and say, well, I'm not led to be there. Don't worry. It's not just led, it's copper. You know, he told them where to stay. When he was going to speak to them too, when he was going to teach Matthew 28, he told them where to meet him. When he gave them the Great Commission, he told them it chose a place for them. So he asked them to assemble in Jerusalem. So the physical, see, there's, thank God for the online transmission of the word, where, you know, we can watch the word of God online, but you did not go to church. You cannot go to church online. Don't let the devil lie to you. You can watch a church service online. You were not in the service. And you are here to obey God. You can watch it online. You know, this is some of the things that the last few years with the advancement of technology has abused. You know, the apostles would write letters to the churches. You know, and when they write letters to the churches, the believers will gather together physically and they will now explain the letter. So, the letter never took the place of that physical assembly. The physical assembly of believers is part of our salvation. It's part of our worship of God. Some say, well, but I've been blessed by teaching online. I'm not saying you are not blessed. You see, don't always put everything on how you were blessed or not blessed. That's your own business. The issue is what does the word of God say? Not forsaking the assembling together of one another as the manner of some is. Which means you can develop an attitude of not gathering with believers. Someone say, well, I just stayed at home and, you know, and I was just following the service. You were following the service, but you did not attend the physical assembly of believers. In the whole book of Acts, the entire book of Acts, anywhere you see church is a physical assembly. The entire book of Acts. In 1 Corinthians, let me just use percentage. In 100% of using the word church church, 80% Paul meant physical assembly. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, he says, you know, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave in the house of God, the church of the living God. He was talking about their gathering. So the gathering together of believers is not an option. I know some folks that say, well, they call it online church. I call the online church, I call it a grammatical blunder. A theological mismatch. Historically, it doesn't make sense. Because what is called church? Church is a gathering. And it's so important. Now, when the lockdown period came, the only thing I saw, apart from all the mystic myth about whether this is 666, I laughed at those ones. But when someone now raised an issue, he said, do you know that? The fact that they are not allowing believers to meet physically in a place, he said, that might just be an attack on the gospel. I don't like to use that word, attack on the gospel. When the person said it, I said, well, that gave me some thoughts. That truly, the physical gathering of believers is very important. And then I agreed. I said, well, maybe I will agree that somehow the devil may have a plan that we're not coming together, that the essence and the, you know, I call it the incense of the fellowship of believers will have been missing. That physical assembly. And if you are true to yourself, you will know that there's something about the physical assembly of believers. You can't get in any other thing. Hallelujah. Paul says, when I come physically, he wrote a letter. He said, when I come, then I desire to see you. So that when I come, I will impart you some spiritual gift. Romans 1:11. But you are reading the letter now. That letter is what you are reading and you are blessed. He said, I want to come. Paul, John said that it is when I see you that I'm full of joy. He wrote them a letter. That letter had the word. But he said it's when I come. Now, let me add one more. That for me, is very important. It is the fact that the word became flesh. God himself became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The word did not become a tweet or a signal. The word became flesh, literally, and dwelt amongst us. And physically interacted. So don't play down on the physical assembly of believers. And you know, many places where I've spoken in the last 4 years or so, 3-4 years, you know, both within and outside Africa, have let people see this. Sometimes among people who are seminarians, leaders of denominations, and I told them point blank, see, that thing you are calling online church is not biblical. It's not biblical. Don't make the permissive a habit. There are things that, okay, they are permitted because there was, but don't make it a habit. What should be permissive should not become a culture. The commitment you have with Christ is so important that you will get off your bed, get out of your house, and go and gather with believers. In itself, that's commitment. Hallelujah. Hope you are following what I'm saying. So take the physical, don't let anybody, you have a Bible. So someone says, well, I think, and every time people are talking about this issue of online services, it's just logic. They never explain from the word. He said, look at it now. Are we now saying, but I know somebody who got born again online. I know whatever you like, say happened online. Even say that took place online. Whatever you like, say happened. But the point is the word says we must come together. We must come together. The day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, in one accord. One place. And that flowed throughout the book of Acts. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, when you are all come together in one place, and the whole church is in one place. Hallelujah. So discipline yourself. Whatever bad habit you picked up in the last 3 years, Zoom church, Google Meet, or what do you call it? Whatever bad habit you picked up, that you will now be in your nightwear, you say you are in church. You take church to the restroom. We say you are speaking in tongues. He said, me, see, let me share this one with you. This is not part of my teaching, but I believe I'm scared to share this. You know, even me, there was a time we broadcast. You know where we used to broadcast every 9 o'clock or so? Me, you. And everybody said, let's watch, I don't know what you call it, live stream. Or whatever. I forgot the name. So, there will be a national game going on. Me. The pastor, your pastor. There will be an Arsenal game going on. So what I'll do is that the Arsenal game is on TV. So I'll be watching the Arsenal game. I'll put on the phone. Then the live stream is going on. You'll see me there, but I'm not watching it. And I'm looking at the Arsenal and I say, that's me. Me. I'm not confessing anything. I'm just telling you what I did. You know, you didn't go to any church. You just watched a broadcast. Hallelujah. When you go to church, you fellowship with believers. You interact. There are supernatural deposits that come from that interaction. Hallelujah. So the physical assembly of believers should not be an option. It's an instruction. Hallelujah. It's not an option. It's an instruction. So get back to Acts 1. Hope you learned something from that. And being assembled, Acts 1:4, together with them, it says, commanded them that they should depart not from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said he had heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now they asked him, would you at this time again restore the kingdom again to Israel? See the words are coming back in, the word kingdom. Then verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Let's take 8 together. But you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. See, you'll be witnesses. You'll be witnesses. You'll be the folks that will talk about me, preach what I have done, preach who I am. But it will come by the power of the Holy Ghost. So the power of the Holy Ghost. See, if you really want to talk about the believer's authority, the believer's authority is the indwelling of the Spirit. That is your authority. Your authority is not mere speech. Your authority is the supernatural. Hallelujah. That's your authority. Sometimes we complain about preaching, people don't really hear when I'm, you know, and it's usually because we are relying on how skillful we can talk to people, our social interaction skills, how we can start a conversation. You've not seen somebody that is properly demonized. Start the conversation very well. Explain. Don't you understand that your work is supernatural? Jesus' death that delivered us from sin and iniquity was a conflict with the powers of darkness. So how would you think that if you are preaching the gospel, it's just mere, you know, speech? No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. The keys of the kingdom are supernatural. I said the keys of the kingdom are supernatural. The keys of the kingdom are supernatural. It's not your skills. No. No, it's not your skills. It's not your good sociological capacity or skills as well. It's not, you know, the way. And you see some folks. I remember we came here some time ago, I think it was 10, 11, 12 years ago, and we did a tour of churches. Actually, we visited around 12 states in America. So we're going from church to church. And then we went to one particular church. I won't mention the state or the city so that you not guess. And so, the first thing we saw, they had one nightclub. Then they had basketball courts. Then they had baseball courts. Then they had, what's the thing again? No. Mm-mm. No. What do you call it? Bowling, thank you. Because now I know golf now. I know I'm from Osasa, Nigeria, but I still know. You know, so I was not looking. So I now asked the church administration, I said, what's this for? He said, you know, so that people can come to church, you know, if you just go and preach to them, they might not really listen. So because the world, you know, these are the things they get in the world. So we give it to them and all that. And she really explained it. Yeah. I said, oh, that's interesting. So someone shouted, it was like a team. Said, when we get back to Nigeria, we'll bring, I said, eh? See, this is backsliding. See how much they are spending to build basketball court for outreach. Basketball court. So that you first come and play basketball before you get born again. Go into all the world. Give them bully ball. I now said to the woman, and somebody else was there, I said, you are doing this because you don't have the supernatural. That's why you are doing this. So that's why I said, well, we're trusting God. I said, you are not. It's not trusting God. Any organization can put this up. But we trust in the power of the Holy Ghost. John 16:7. He said, when the Comforter is come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have produced false converts. Because we just fed them on junk, on what is not non-spiritual diet. So they are not born again. So such folks, they will just be coming to church. By the time you start thorough Bible study, they don't like it because they've never been born again. Say, what's all this now? Why are you studying the Bible for this long? Ah. You say, I was coming to church, not Bible school. What's this nonsense now? Ah. See, for you should love the word of God. Leave me, oh, which word of God? Ah. I just want be in church and just watch you answer my prayers. That's all these ones you are telling me. He was never born again. Why? Because he got saved through basketball. There was no genuine encounter with Jesus. But thank God we have the keys of the kingdom. We have the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom is the gifts of the Spirit. I trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:1. Paul says, when I came to you, I came not in the excellency of speech, 1 Corinthians 2:1, or wisdom, declaring to you testimony of God. He said, I determined not to know anything, 1 Corinthians 2:2, among you, except Christ and Him crucified. He said, I was with you, verse 3, in much weakness and trembling and fear. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say my speech and preaching. Look at Acts 4:13. They saw these guys. You know who Peter and Peter? Peter was a fisherman. Fisherman is not somebody who owns a fish factory or something. No. It's small boat. Fisherman. Fishermen. When they heard them, Acts 4:13, they knew that they were unlearned. These are rough guys. These are not really as culture, but they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. There was something supernatural about it. When they persecuted them, you know, today if they persecute a church, you write petition. Say, according to the constitution, this is our right. You should give us what belongs to us. You know, in fact, someone was telling me, it was in Nigeria, I said, well, we should ensure that, you know, we should write something against persecuting the church. I said, I don't understand. Where did Jesus ask you to write against persecuting the church? So we should write against it. I said, in the book of Acts, when they threatened them, and they went back to their company, they lifted their voice in one accord, Acts 4:24. And you know, they said that Psalm 2, verse 1 to 3. And they said, you know, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak your word, that signs and wonders might be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Scripture says that where they prayed was shaken together and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4:31, 32. And they spoke the word of God, 31, with boldness. Hallelujah. You know what he said to Zechariah? He said, it's not by power. It's not by might. But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So your task in this nation or any nation whatsoever can only be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the keys. And the keys he gave to us, the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's what he gave us. The gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit. That's what he gave us, to build his work. If you are going to build his work, you will build his work with what he has. You know, he never started ministry till in Luke 4:18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Till he went to the baptism of John. And John said, I saw the Holy Ghost descend on him and remained on him. Afterwards, he began ministry. If God as a man, did not begin ministry until the Holy Ghost was seen on him. How much more you and I? Do you think that before he was 30, he didn't know how to explain scriptures? He did. In Luke 2, when the teachers heard him, they were astonished at his answers. But yet he didn't start ministry. So your work is a supernatural one. You must know the difference between a social gathering and a church meeting. A club meeting and a church meeting. I know some folks try to replace it, you know, try to say, let's try to put this, No. Yours is a supernatural assembly. Hallelujah. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we are given the Holy Ghost to do what? To carry out the ministry of Jesus on earth. Say, I carry out the ministry of Jesus in the earth. So the Holy Ghost is his method. The Holy Ghost is his method. He has given you the keys of the kingdom. So as you wrap up this conference tomorrow, and you go back to your city, your state, or even your nation, remember that your access to lives is the power of the Holy Ghost. Your access is the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me now say one more. even when it comes to the believers, fellow believers, fellow believers, because he said, I'll build my church, fellow believers, the way we can be of a blessing to fellow believers is the same way, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same way. The access we have to be a blessing to fellow believers is by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul would write, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Believers must know about it. You must know about it. You must know about the utterance gift. You must know about the power gift. What are the utterance gifts? They are the gifts that primarily say something. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues and prophecy. You must know about the revelation gifts. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Discernment of spirits. You must know about the power gifts. Gifts of healings. Workings of miracles and gifts of faith. Say all these things. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Work at that one and self same spirit. Dividing to every man severally as he will. Look at that 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says the manifestation of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7, is given to every man to profit with all. Now, that word to profit with all means for the common good. 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 So God gave us a spirit so that we can reach others. So that we can reach others. So that we can bless others. Because He's the one that wants to bless them. Hallelujah. He's the one that wants to reach them. Hallelujah. And the way He walks with us. Watch. Put this down. It's very important. Our partnership with God in the earth is our partnership with His Spirit. Our partnership with God in the earth is our partnership with the Spirit. The work of His Spirit in us is our partnership with God. And that is the way we carry out His will on earth. That's how we carry out His will on earth. We pray. We pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We minister. We minister in the Spirit. So that campus, that city, that nation that you are in, your access there is the power of the Holy Spirit. You learn it. You walk in it. You learn it. You walk in it. You learn it. You walk in it. So I want us to do something tonight. Tomorrow morning, like I said, we have different believers' meetings. I want us to consecrate ourselves afresh. To contend for the supernatural. You see, a good number of believers are just, some have not left it behind totally. To contend for the supernatural. To contend for it. You know, what makes me and the unbeliever different? It's not what I wear. It's not how I speak. Is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the key of the kingdom. That is how to build with God. That is how to walk with God. The power of the Holy Spirit. We must make a fresh consecration. That I will contend for the power of the Holy Spirit. No matter how dry my world gets. No matter how worldly believers around me are like. You know? Sometimes, some of us, First Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You could just be walking with believers that talk down the things of God. The things of it. And they are believers, though. They just say, there was one pastor that told me this. I was so shocked. This was amazing. This was about 20 years, actually 20 years ago. He said, we should come and have lunch. So I went over to his place. I was eating. So he said, you know what? That I need so-and-so person. That's not what I said. He said, you know, he was talking about his own spiritual father. It amazed me. He said, you know, I used to really flow in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but you know my pastor now. You know, he's not a Holy Ghost person. He said, I used to flow in the Holy Ghost. I knew him when he was in university then. He said, I said, he doesn't believe in all this. He said, he's his own pastor. So I was looking at him across the, I think I put the food in my mouth. It almost dropped out. I said, your own pastor. He said, yes. He said, can you come and do a Holy Ghost meeting for us in my church? He said, you know, because the way it is, you know, we're just into everything, but that Holy Ghost thing. He said, you know, I've just been dry. And I looked at him and said, why would you make someone your pastor? Right? That practically makes the gift of the Spirit cease in your life. That's evil communication. And it corrupts good manners. You see? The wise walks with the wise. Proverbs 13:20. The companion of fools perish together. If you walk with people that talk down the power of God, very soon you will do the same. You do the same. It's either they change or you change. So, we must do this evening a consecration. You know, some people, it's not that they've not flowed the power of God. It's not that they will, but they are not, they're just, it's just like a fan. I don't know, a fan that stopped rolling. And that there's no power there. It's just rolling, just moving. They're not really putting their heart into it. They found an alternative. Same way that you used to believe God for healing. You're sick, you just believe God for... After a while, you just get used to drugs. You explain it away that the most important thing is to stay alive now. And you just get used to drugs. Until they tell you something that drugs will not cure. Then you now start to do fasting. Start listening to teaching. Something that you should have gotten used to. Get used to it. Let it be your natural response. You know, I'm not against people using drugs. You should know that very well. You should know me very well. I'm not one of those that teach stupid things. I believe the natural and the supernatural are a good combination. But you see, your first priority should be the supernatural. There is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Walking through you. The power of the Holy Ghost. You know, I've not said this publicly before, but maybe I should tonight. I read about a revival going on in the Ashbury or something. And people talk about it. Great. And I told someone, I said, really? You know, such stirring should be regular. They should not be spectacular. No. They should be regular. That is when believers, they contend. Jesus said, if you are thirsty, you'll be filled. You'll be filled. But you know, sometimes you can get used to, you've lost the thirst. You've lost the thirst. And you are now choosy. You are choosy. I use this illustration. Now, I could be very choosy with food. I learned it from my father. Extremely choosy. My father will look at it, he can taste it and say, he's not taking any more. So I do that a lot. I'll tell you, if something is not made fresh, I won't eat. I used to say stuff like that. But I noticed something. That when I'm fasting, and I'm about to break my fast, I usually don't taste the food. So people ask me, they say, Pastor, how is the food? I said, I'm hungry. So I don't have time to say, is there too much salt? Is there too much? Let me first of all get rid of the hunger. You know, it's when you are not hungry that you say, I don't want to attend prayer meeting this week. I don't want to. You are not hungry yet. When you are hungry, you go for it. Hallelujah. Let's dedicate ourselves to the supernatural. Let's reconsecrate. Earlier in the day, that's the afternoon, I saw four people who used to be almost totally wound up in the supernatural. I've looked at one of you just now, and you dropped behind. You dropped behind. I believe in this conference, you got yourself back. Amen. To contend for the supernatural. I'm saying you will start to see visions regularly, revelations regularly. Start to have encounters. I mean, in your room, you will see visibilities of heaven. These are natural things. Hallelujah. Natural things. And you know, when those experiences are so real to you, and real to you, it won't be difficult for you to transmit it to others. See, there's something about the believer. When we walk in the power of God, almost literally people just relating with us, they will come in contact with the supernatural. And you know, that's what is happening to you now. Let's have a fresh dedication to the supernatural. Let's say all the nine gifts of the Spirit. This month, February, I'm going to walk in you. This next month, March, let's contend for it. Let's contend for praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about come for your prayer group meeting. I'm saying you as a person. You just the whole day praying the Holy Ghost. Praying the Holy Ghost the more. A fresh concept. Why? Because the keys of the kingdom is the power of the Holy Ghost. If you are going to build with God, anyone who wants to build with God here, if you are going to build with God, it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. You go out for evangelism. So, some people, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. When there's the power of the Holy Ghost, much of the things that will happen will be supernatural. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Let's have a consecration to pray in the Spirit. A lot. praying in the Spirit, the Lord. Be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. So you are not taking, you are reaching one counselor, another counselor. Please tell me what to do. You have 8 counselors till you are now confused. So you say, go right, go left. But what about being led by the Spirit? What about hearing from God? Hallelujah. What about waiting on God to hear? Hallelujah. What about being led by the Spirit of God? And you know and you are sure that God led you. You know and you are sure that God led you. What about knowing how to hear from God? And you are feeding on the word of God. I mean, we've taught you in this church, you can listen and listen and listen, and you are contending for it. Hallelujah. This evening, I want us to dedicate ourselves. Rededicate ourselves to the supernatural. To be led by the Spirit. To flow with the Spirit. When it comes to things like joy in the Holy Ghost, it's natural to you. Rejoicing in the Spirit is natural to you. Praying in the Holy Ghost, natural to you. Ministering to people by the Holy Ghost, natural to you. Someone calls you and says, Shagun, you know, I don't know what's wrong. Can you pray with me? Say, okay, hold on. And then we are praying. And you are used to, when you are praying with people, to hear things and give them the solutions. Anyone like that here? Is that what we're going to contend for? Is that what we're going to contend for? Then they will ask you, how did you know that? You're asking me how I knew something. Am I not a child of God? You're asking me, how did you know something? I told you I'm born of God. You're asking how I know something. That's how we know things. Hallelujah. I want us to contend for this. When I say contend for it, it's because many times we're in environments, I mean around the world, where it appears that, you know, today people will just go and use Google rather than be led by the Spirit. Now Google has its place. I use it too. But don't be so reliant on the flesh, such that you don't even know how to hear from God anymore. Don't forget the keys. Play for me, I close. The keys of the kingdom are the supernatural. The gifts of the Spirit. The workings of the Spirit. Those of you who are pastors and leaders here, should go back to your churches. Let there be a reintroduction of the power of the Holy Spirit in the services. There will be services. We'll trust God tomorrow morning. We'll just yield it to the Holy Ghost. Well, we'll yield the meetings to the Holy Ghost. And we'll just allow things flow. And, you know, things just flow. People will see and hear things in the Spirit. People, you know, they're just used to flowing with the Spirit. Some of you are going for evangelism and just go out like that. What about just spending some time and just praying in the Spirit for long? You know, and certain things will just become clear to you. There are times like that you will almost see the people you are going to see before you see them. There are times like that you'll almost be granted access to people's lives before you see them. There are just times like that you just become bolder. Contend for the supernatural. Get used to yielding yourself to the supernatural. Get used to it. 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 Hallelujah. Get used to it. Get used to it. Get used to it. How will we dedicate ourselves to the moving of the Spirit in our services, in our ministries, in our personal lives? When I get up in the morning to have my morning devotion, you know, I'm not just doing a ceremony. I'm in a vital fellowship with God. I know as I read His word, it's life to me. And I know I also have access to hearing from heaven. And I know as I set forth in the day, I will walk in the Spirit and I will walk with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Anyone like that tonight, you just want to rededicate yourself to the moving of the Spirit, to the walk of the Spirit, to the supernatural, to be led by the Spirit, to flow with the Spirit. Let's just do that tonight. As we rededicate ourselves, our ministries, our churches, our fellowship centers, our cell groups, our lives, to the work of the Holy Ghost. To the work of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, Lord.